Well, I'm in a series we've been calling Reigning, and we've just been talking about who God created us to be and what we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to be living, and what God wants us doing. Remember, doing is not what God called us into this world for. He didn't create us to be human doings. He created us to be human. Y'all came to preach today. I hear y'all. Genesis 1 and 26 says this: Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign." Then it goes on to talk about all that they're going to reign over. But I want to be very clear. When God created human beings, He created us to reign. We quoted the beginning of the Bible. Now let's fast forward to the end of the Bible. This is the revelation of John, where Jesus is talking about us. Everybody say, "That's me." Now that's if you're a child of God. If you're not a child of God, then you can't say that right now. Hopefully at the end of the message, you'll be able to say that. But if you're a child of God, say, "This is talking about me." The revelation of John says this: "And they," speaking of the children of God, "will reign forever and ever." In other words, in the beginning, God created human beings to reign, and He fully expected them to reign forever. What Adam and Eve did by their disobedience messed that up for a little bit, but it did not change who God created us to be. He created us to reign. And I want us to get that in our head today. I want us to get that in our heart before this series is over. God created us to reign. And then we read last week Ephesians. By the way, if you haven't been here the last two or three weeks, I would encourage you to go back and watch the messages or listen to the podcast, listen to it online to catch up. Because I really believe God's trying to get something into our DNA as a church, into us as a body. And I haven't felt as excited or energetic about speaking on a subject as I have this series. And so I want you to get back and make sure you catch up. Ephesians 2 and 6, with this in mind, that God created us to reign. Verse 6, "For He," God, "raised us from the dead along with Christ." Now let's stop right there. This is a revelation and understanding that some believers don't get. When Jesus Christ died, we died with Him. Not when you accepted Him as your Lord. That's not when you died with Him. You died with Him on the cross. And when He was resurrected, you were resurrected with Him. When you put your faith in Jesus, it goes back and enacts what happened back then. Does that make sense? You died with Him. Not just your sin, you. If you've never read the book, The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee, I encourage every believer to go get that book. He walks through Romans, and if you don't know who Watchman Nee was, you need to read everything he's ever written. He was an amazing pastor in China. He was persecuted. I think he spent something like 50 years in prison, and they called him the Watchman, Watchman Nee, and he wrote these incredible books. But the book called The Normal Christian Life will really help you have a full and complete understanding of what it means to live with, everybody look at me, what it means to live with Christ and what it means to die with Christ and what it means to be resurrected with Christ, okay? Understand that. So He, watch it, let's say it again. He raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Now, how many remember where Christ is seated? At the right hand of where? The Father. The right hand. That's where Christ is seated. That's that place of authority. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." That's where Christ is seated. And guess who is seated with Him? Can you raise your hand? See, you just raised your hand in church. I knew I'd get you to do it. Right there. Me. I'm not seated next to Him. I'm seated with him in the same place as he is. That's where I am seated. Not to his left, to his right, in that place of all authority. That's where I'm seated. That's what I want us to get, that understanding. And where is he seated? Ephesians 1 said, he is seated above. Christ has raised him up. He is seated above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that is named or ever will be named. That's where Christ is seated. Not just above, far above. And again, who's seated with him? Me. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. That word seated is really important because that word seated speaks to a place of authority. It speaks to a place of reigning, where if you want to get down there in the muck and the mire with the enemy, you can, but you don't have to. I find that most believers, that's where they spend their time. We spend our time down here fighting and fussing and cussing and doing everything we can to make it to heaven when in reality, God has called us to be seated in this place of authority, understanding how powerful our prayers are, understanding how powerful our worship is, understanding that the Bible says there are angels that attend to the saints. There are angels that are just waiting for us to pray to Jesus, and Jesus says, all right, angels, go sick them. And instead, we're doing the work. And the angels are like, okay, bud, you can go and do it if you'd like. But I sure would like to help you with that. The Bible says that they'll keep guard over us and they watch over us. You ever think about that? That we have a host of heavenly beings that are just there watching out for us. Ain't that the coolest thing? No, just me. If you're not impressed by that, I don't know that this message is going to get any better for you, all right? Everybody say seated. That's a place of reigning in like a throne. And I mentioned the last 2 weeks, two things. When we reign, we can rest. And resting is important. If you don't know how to rest, your life is going to be rough. Learning how to rest begins with learning how to reign. And then number two, when we reign, we can create. Verse 28 of Genesis 1, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. God created human beings in his own image so that we would create human beings in our own image. It's a recreation. That's what we are created to do, to create others. And this is not just physically. I'd never seen this correlation until a month or so ago. Our associate pastor, Pastor Jordan, who is our family pastor, you see him with Hills Kids a lot. Pastor Jordan spoke on one Sunday, and he connected these two for me. Jump real quick to the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, and it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is powerful to me. So what's happening is what happened in Genesis physically, go, multiply, fill the earth. Now is happening spiritually, where Jesus is saying, now go make disciples, baptizing them. And I hope last week, if you were able to be here or you tuned in online, by the way, welcome to all of our folks that are watching online and out in the overflow. I hope that if you last week, that there was something that kind of just poked you in your heart when we talked about who are you discipling? Who in your life is becoming more like Jesus because you are in their life? Who are you discipling? I know it. It hit me in the heart because it's easy for me to say, well, all these people sitting here, I'm discipling all of them. But I'm preaching in the hope that there's some discipleship going on. But who am I really leaning in on? And God began to highlight some folks to me over the past the several weeks, and I've been spending time with them, leaning in on them, even some younger pastors that I've been able to sit with and help walk through some of the things. I can't believe I'm saying younger pastors. I used to be the younger pastor. How can I help you, buddy? Who are you discipling, and then who is discipling you? All right, enough recapping. Let's move on. Come on, you ready to dive into this week? You read happy birthday. She even got a sash and everything. Kristen, we should have gotten you a sash. That would have been amazing. You're 16. She's 17. That's awesome. That would have been great. God created the heavens and the earth. And then he created man and woman. And then he even created a garden for man. Genesis 2:15 said, then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Now, come back to me and look at this. This is really cool because, you know, he's just told them, go multiply, fill the earth. But then he creates this space, this garden called Eden, and he takes man and he puts him in it. I think that is a beautiful type of the church, of what we do here on Sunday mornings, what we do in our small groups, is that you're out there doing everything you know to do, everything, and then you come in and you're with your people. I think that's also what a home is supposed to be like. I believe our homes are supposed to be a place, a respite. It's supposed to be a place that when you walk in, I'm home. There's peace there. This is where I come to sleep and I come to be filled up. And then I'm going to go back out and do what God's called me to do. We have people that walk in our home many times. And matter of fact, I have a friend of mine from Canada. And he called me one time. He said, hey, man, my wife and I are trying to figure out, how can we get that Kristen smell in our house? My wife's name is Kristen. And if you ever go in our house, it just has this smell to it. And she just mixes all these candles and incense, and it just smells like home. It just smells good. How many have ever walked into someone's house and immediately you just felt warm? You felt peace? We have people that will say that to us. I believe that's what you and I should be doing, everything we can that our home feels that way. Maybe it's an apartment for you. Maybe you live in a trailer, or maybe you live in a 5,000 square foot home. Whatever you can do, do everything you can that when your kids come home, it feels like home. When your husband comes home, when your wife enters into that door, that it just, man, this is our place. This is our Eden. And again, I believe that's what Sunday morning is supposed to be, where we show up. Adam and Eve, you go do what you're supposed to do. Then you come back here and you sleep and you eat. And you make love. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. I hope to God they were making love. Otherwise, it wouldn't be paradise. Amen? All right, I'm going to move on. God bless y'all. Don't get religious on me now. I'll go to another church real fast. Let's go back to Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. That word tend is important. If you're taking notes, write that down, because that's going to be something we're going to be using throughout the rest of the sermon. Tend it. So God places in there and he says to them, hey, Adam and Eve, all of this is yours. I mean, you can name the animals. You can ride them. Whatever you want. Everything you see, you can eat from any tree of the garden. Except this one. That one? Yeah. This one. You mean that's the one we can't have? Yeah. This is the one you can't have. All right? And what did they do? Went right to that one. Isn't it amazing how many times we overlook all that God's given us because of that one thing we feel like he hasn't? We overlook all that we can have because of the one thing we can't have. Man, if I could just have him or her or that job or look like them or be like, if I could just make that much money, if I could, everything we're overlooking. And I find even as a pastor in my younger years that I would find myself overlooking what God had sent us and even who God had sent us for who God was sending us. Kind of climbing over, even in our corporate world, you can overlook the most faithful employees and partners for what is next. I'm already preaching on this. It's who we are. He said, don't eat from that tree. And yet, Eve listened to the serpent who lied to her. Remember, he is not just the liar, he is father of all lies. There is no truth in him. He cannot speak the truth. It just doesn't come out of his mouth. And she listened to him. And then Adam listened to her. And because of that, the Bible says sin enters into the world and everything changes. So after sin, remember, before sin, he put him in the garden. He said, Adam, tend it. After sin, jump real quick to Genesis 3:17. God said, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Toil. Tending, toiling. Notice the difference. The word tend in the Hebrew means this, to serve or to accomplish. The word tend, or toil, I'm sorry, in Hebrew means hardship. It means anxiety. Tending speaks of care. It speaks of love and nurturing. Toiling speaks of pain and anxiety. Let me just say this, and I'm going to have them bring it on the screen because I want to etch it in your brain. We were created to tend and not to toil. That's why so many folks' lives feel so hard, because you're doing something you were never supposed to do. You're toiling instead of tending. There's anxiety instead of peace. There's worry instead of joy. Why? Well, life's hard. Yeah, life is hard, but you're making it harder by doing things that God never asked you to do. This is what sin does. Sin turns tending into toiling. Watch this. Sin takes what should be a pleasure and makes it a pressure. What should be? I can't tell you the people that we talk to that are struggling in their marriages. And I get it. It's work. But the reason you're struggling is because you're toiling instead of tending. You're making, God gave you that relationship for your good. He gave you those children because they are a reward from him. And what do you see with most parents? Right? Most marriages. Because we're toiling instead of tending. This is what I want us to get to. Because we're never going to do all that God's called us to do if we're exhausted. I should have had a louder amen on that one. Got a few giggles, but amen. Look at your neighbor and said, you already raised your hand in church. It's okay to amen now. Yeah. Now, say with me. Because Eve listened and believed the serpent's words instead of God's word. And because Adam listened to Eve instead of God, everything changes. Now, online, listen to me, lean in. Now, everything that was blessed is now cursed because of disobedience. And that has never changed. Disobedience takes blessing and turns it into cursing. Obedience takes cursing and turns it into blessing. It's just simple. Obey, disobey. Everybody say it's simple. Doesn't make it easy. Evan, my son, is a great basketball player. And I remember one time he and I were playing golf. And it was his first time to go play with me in a long time. And we were on the first hole at Temple Hills. And I said, come, let's just go play a few holes. He said, okay, Dad, let's play. So we went out, just hits the ball right down the middle, knocks it up on the green. Pars the first hole. And I look at him. First of all, I just want to punch him. That's number one. And then I just looked at him and I said, Evan, it's like basketball. It's an easy game. And he said, no, Dad, it's not easy. It's simple. I said, well, look at you. Are you ready to pastor the church now? Here we go. But it was powerful for me to understand. How many know that simple is never easy? It's much easier to do a lot of things bad than do a few things really good. And so he says, just simple. Obey, blessing. Disobey, cursing. Genesis 3:17. And God said to the man, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. Look at me. God did not curse anything. God blessed it. He blessed everything. He said, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's very good. That's all you hear coming from God in Genesis 1 and 2. Just bless, bless, giving, giving. I love you. Awesome. Incredible. I'm going to come walk with you in the cool of the garden. It's all blessing, blessing, blessing. And for some reason, we think then because man messed up, God cursed everything. God didn't curse anything. That was on me. It was on Adam. Because of you. Because of your disobedience, sin entered into the world. Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. I didn't do that, okay? That's on you. Have an understanding. I think this will help a lot of you in your relationship with the Lord because you think God's cursed you. No, no, no. God didn't curse you. Sin and disobedience is what brought the curse into your life. Don't put that on God. All he wants to do is bless you. But he also wants you to be obedient to his word. All right, let me go quick. Because of you, the ground is cursed because of you. And he's speaking to man. All of your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. You will grow thorns and thistles. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grain. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. So this is the curse on man. Because of man's disobedience and sin, now this is the curse that man has to live under. If you're taking notes, write that down. Just put man. And the curse for man is you're going to have to toil over the land. And notice what he says. He says, it, look, bring it back up. He says, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So for the rest of your life, you're going to be toiling to get anything. And that I read it a moment ago. It says, you're going to struggle to just scratch a living from it. I mean, you're going to work and work and work and deal with thorns and briars and get cut, blood, sweat, and tears, and you're barely going to make it by. Come on, how many of that feel like your week this week? Just eking it out and just, I'm going to do everything I can to get it. And then it says, and after you work this hard, then you die. And the ground that you work so hard in is going to swallow you up. It's the curse on man to toil. And because of his disobedience, man went from everything is yours to this. If you want it, you got to work for it. Now, man, I want you to listen to me. Let me preach to you for just a moment, okay? Lean in. Overflow online, I want you to hear me. I want to talk to the men for just a moment. This is what started that work-based mindset that we have, where if I'm going to get anything, I got to work for it. And everything that I do, what I accomplish is where I find my validity. It's where I find my purpose. How much money I make, what car I drive, how good my family is, how many points I scored, what my percentage was. We just go down the line. The trophies that I have, that is what gives me my validity. It's where I find my purpose. Anytime men meet one another, hi, my name is John Ragsdale. How you doing? My name is Bob Evans. I don't know. Walt Disney, nice to meet you. Whatever your name is, all right? What's the second question we ask? So what do you do? Right? So what do you do? Because it would be a little awkward the first time I met you to say, so who are you? Right? That just it wouldn't go over very well because in our society, in our nature, it's about what we do. And because we work so hard, and the Bible says anything you get is going to be because of the toil and the sweat and the blood and the tears, That's the only way you're going to produce something. Because of that, when we work hard, we expect produce. We expect a reward. We want a trophy. We want promotions. We want accolades. We want to be recognized. That's how men are. Come on, man, can I get a hoo-hoo? It's who we are. It's all about the land. You notice that's all men fight over? Men don't fight over anything else. They fight over the land. Land. You fight over land. It's always about territory. The reason men fuss and fight is because you disrespected me on my territory. You crossed my boundary. Don't do that. That's how men are. You got into my turf. Don't get on my turf. That's why Tennessee and Georgia fans fight, right? Let's go Dogs. Really? Why we get upset with each other? Because we're in Georgia, you're in Tennessee. It's about land. It's about territory. Women, let me help you understand men. It's all about territory. About us respecting our territory. It's about this. This is why men take care of their lawns so well. You would think it was just Mecca the way we just look at it. It's amazing. We have this lawn in our neighborhood that when we walk alongside it, we have a boxer bulldog. His name is Wally, and Wally loves to go for a walk. And the only reason he likes to go for a walk is so he can go poop. And the only reason he wants to go poop is so he can get a treat. That's it. Does not care about the calorie burning or the exercise. He wants to get back on the couch with a treat, right? So we have this one lawn that Chris and I will be walking Wally. And we come to that lawn, and y'all, it is manicured like they cut it with fingernail clippers, I think. It's unbelievable. In the dead of winter, it's just green. It's gorgeous. We come walking along, and Chris goes, oh, God, here he goes. Wally picks that lawn every time. And Chris goes, please, God, no, don't do it. Because you know they're in there looking through the blinds like, don't you dare. And then I've got the bag, the most emasculating thing a man can do. Holding a bag, looking up, going, I'm going to get it. I'm getting every drop of it. Like, we're weird. That's a gross thing to do, but we do it, right? It's all about the land. It's about the territory. This is why there are wars. Not many women might start wars. That's men. We're the majority of war starting. Why? About the land. I'm going to defend my land. I'm going to take over your land. Well, it's about ideals. Yeah, I know it's about ideals, but it's only about we don't want your ideals in our land. The way y'all live there, keep them there. Don't you bring them here. We'll fight. It's all about territory. Think about this. Watch this. See that line right there? My land, your land. Okay. Why did you shoot at me? You touched my land. It's an imaginary line. Not to me, it's not, because that's what men fight over. This is why Russia invades Ukraine. Ukraine fights back. It's wars and rumors of wars. And it's what we've been doing. Why? Because the curse of the toil on land. If I'm going to work for it, I'm going to defend it. I'm going to protect it. And then once we get it, we fight to control it. I want to control my career. I want to control the circumstances. Men do not like walking into a circumstance so they don't know what's going on. I don't know about you men, but when I go to a new resort, I walk the entire resort. We put our stuff in the room. I'm walking around. Where is everything? I got to know how to get out of here if anything goes down. Got to know where the ice cream machine is. Where is everything? It's about the land. I want to control it. I want to control money. I want to control my toys. I want to control. It's men. We want to dominate anything and everything. Everything is us dominating it. It's why men are so competitive, right? I'm going to prove to you that I can take over your end of the field. Competitive. Right now, I could take a trash can and put it right there. I could take my sermon notes and wad them up. Somebody's like, would you please? No, I'm not. I could take that and wad it up and throw it in the basket and go back and get it. And within a minute, another guy would be up here. Then another guy. And then we would be competing over it. And then y'all, some of you men would be betting on it, right? Taking the over and the under. It's why men will scream at a television. You go, Is that your team? Oh, no, no. I got $5 on that game. Why? It gives me power. It gives me control. It's how we dominate. And then, unfortunately, we try to control people as well. We're going to control them. I'm going to make sure that nobody gets the better of me. Come on, listen to me. Men, we need to hear this. I'm going to make sure that I'm top dog. Every argument, I'm going to win it. Every situation, even if you're meek and mild, you're going to be passive aggressive about it. I'm going to do everything I can. But let me just say something to you. People are not property. They're not property. You can fight over property, okay, but people are not. Your kids are not your property. Your employees are not your property. Your coworkers are not your property. Your friends are not your property. God created us to subdue and to govern the planet, not people. Jesus said this, I came to serve. When's the last time you put someone else above yourself? I'm going to prefer my brother. I'm going to look to your needs instead of my own. Let this mind be in you, which was in, man, it's getting quiet at the hills. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who laid it all down and became a servant. But we keep going back to this place of control and this place of toiling. And lean in, men, because this is important, and women as well. I find that this ultimate act of toiling and this ultimate act of controlling is when men do this with women. This is that ultimate act. When a man will control, will dominate a woman. And I'm looking at many of you women that have gone through terrible trauma because a man moved from tending into toiling. And that's when men become monsters. And this is when we move from loving our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it to trying to dominate, to trying to demand. God called us to dominate the land, not the lady. Especially not a woman. Look at me, men. Now with pornography and social media and media, everything in our brain, it's so easy for us to just look at a woman as a commodity and look at a woman as something just to be used and then move on to the next thing. I'll click to the next one and I get deeper and deeper. And in reality, when you take that control over a woman, you've moved into the worst place a man can move. She came out of your side. God created her from you. That's the most precious thing you could ever look. So when you look at another woman, look at that as, that's part of me. And who doesn't love themselves? And those of you that are married, the Bible says that you become one. If you can begin to look at her as one. Come on, those of you that are single, you need to hear this too. All the married people say amen. Let's look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. Wives, look at your husband and say, you want your prayers answered? Treat me nice, baby. Amen. All right, ladies, y'all ready? I know y'all enjoyed that first part. Let me just preface this, and if you follow me on social media, you saw this last night. My wife looks at my sermon notes. I always give her my sermon notes, and she looks over them, and she gives me tips. Hey, what if you said this or that? And because I was going to be preaching about the subject and knowing that I was going to be talking to women, I wanted to hear from a woman's perspective. And so last night, she came back, gave me my notes and had some notes on them. But look what else she did. She gave me an A. Isn't that awesome? Not a plus, no, she said. Here's what's really funny, though, and it's in my notes, and I circled it. She wrote here, prepare at this moment in the message, prepare for purses to be thrown. So, ladies, if you could please empty everything out of your purse right now. Genesis 3:16. So to the man, because you're disobedient, the curse is going to be, you're going to toil. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bring forth children. So a woman's toil will be childbearing. And this is really sad, because for most women, this is their greatest desire. And then it becomes their greatest pain. They say there's no pain like it. Carol Burnett said, men, if you want to know what it's like to have a baby, take your bottom lip and pull it over your head. Ow. There's a reason it's called labor, right? There's a reason. It's work. It's toil. My brother, who is really funny, he used to always say that every child was born on Labor Day. Pretty funny. I have this thing. I think we should be sending our mothers gifts on our birthday. Why do we get anything? We didn't have anything to do with it. We just showed up. They're the ones that should be getting all the gifts. They did all of the work. And ladies, you know this. The labor does not end after they're born. Because you are concerned about them the rest of their life. You toil over them all the time. You're worried, did they eat enough? Are they getting enough rest? Are they going to make it home? You're trying to be peacemaker and in between. And what I found is the older they get, they don't get easier. Because some of you are like, man, if I could just get them. No, it's not easier. Then you're dealing with adults. And you got adults talking to adults. You can't say, you better mind me. No, because he bench presses 300 pounds. So I'm not going to tell him, you better mind me. It's just the way things are. It changes. And the older they get, the more they pull away. And the pain and the torture and the tearing that happened at labor, it continues. They tear away and they pull away. And what I find is just as a man finds his validity in his work, many women find their validity in their children. And all they can, they don't feel like they're complete until they have one. And we deal with this all the time, that women that can't have children or have not had children yet, that there's just this void, there's a sadness that it's hard to pastor because you don't know what to say. It's hard. And what is that? It's this longing, if I can have a child, then I'll be complete. I'll feel validated. And then on the other end of the spectrum, when they leave, now what are you? And I just want to say to you, you are the same you that God created you to be in the first place. That is a chance for the men to just amen so loudly. Oh my goodness, let me go back to preaching to the men for a minute. Come on, men. Okay, let me stop, give you a rewind. Ladies, you are still the you that God created you to be in the first place. Men get one curse, women get two. It's not preached a lot. The first curse is you're gonna have pain in childbirth. The second part of the curse is gonna be a man. Now, women, can I get an amen from y'all? Amen. Watch this, Genesis 3:16. And I'm gonna duck for the purses to come. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. That's the second part of the curse. You're going to want to control him, but he's going to control you. You'll have a desire to rule over him, but he's going to rule over you. Now listen, you got to hear this clearly. I don't want you getting your hackles up, but those of you online. Listen, this is not saying anything about equal rights. Remember, we just read 1 Peter 3 and 7. Bring it back up. 1 Peter 3, 7. We just read this, right? But she is your what? Equal partner. So don't forget that when I'm saying this. This is not about equal rights. But when a wife moves from respecting her husband to wanting to rule over him, she has just gone from tending to toiling. It's that simple. I find that anytime I meet a lady or a woman that wants to rule, they just look mean. I've never met a nice one. Just angry. Right? Mean, just mad. And manipulative. Always manipulating. This is not what God's called you to do. And this is why your life is just stressed out. Because you're trying to rule that man. Trying to lord over him. God's not called you to do that. So chill. Yes, he's an idiot. He does dumb stuff. But I'm telling you, you wearing him out is not going to make him any better. No purses. You were wrong, Kristen. I see this in our society where men are emasculated. Men have become the bad. And yes, men have done bad. Men can be monsters. I'm telling you, I get it. We can. But I see it in our society where it's just the emasculation of men. And it's this thing. And again, it's not about equal rights. It's like, I'm going to lord over you. You're going to do things my way. And that's not what God called us to be. This is not just men and women. This is races. This is nations. This is nationality. Anybody that says, you owe me something, and now I'm going to lord it over you. That's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to serve. Look at me, ladies. You were not created to live that way. So what is our job? It's really simple. Not easy, but simple. Men, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. And even though the church spat in his face and turned and walked away, he still gave his life for her. Love her. We've walked through a time in our life the past 2 years, and we've been open about it. My sweet, precious baby girl has gone through some depression, and God has revealed some trauma that happened. It's been amazing to watch how hard it's been and yet how healing it has been. And one day she will tell her story when she's ready for it. And I'm excited about that pumpkin pie. I want you to know that. But here's the word that came to me. You know, many of you know Casey Millison. She is our executive director here at the Hills. And she hears from God. And in the midst of one of our roughest times, Casey sent me an email and she said, Pastor, I feel like God gave me a word for you. God wants you to cherish Kristen. That changed everything for me because I had been trying to toil, work, right? Instead, I did my best to come to a place of love and to cherish her. Men, I'm telling you, if you want your wife to flourish and your marriage to flourish, cherish her like the treasure she is. Love her like Christ loved the church. So women, men, love your wife. Women, respect your husband. That's it. Love, respect. That's what we want, right? How many of you women just want to be loved? And when I say loved, I mean cherished and nurtured and doted on and jewelry and flowers and chocolate and symphonies. All right, men. How many of you men just want to be respected? Just respect me. Tell me how awesome I am. Amen. There's a great book if you haven't read. I recommend several books for people that get married. This is a great book called Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Edrick. Incredible book. Everybody that is married or is going to be married or never wants to be married, it would still be great for you. Because listen, this is not just about husbands and wives. This is about men and women. This is men and women right there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay, take your pictures and I'll come back. It's about men and women. If you want to know how to deal with coworkers, if it's a woman, show the love of Christ. Be gentle. If it's a man, respect him. It's just, it works in every area of life. Just respect and love. Please come play, Zoe. By the way, worship was incredible today. Thank you for leading us into the presence of the Lord. I love that new song. Don't y'all love that firm foundation? It's by a guy named Cody Carnes. His latest record is incredible. Go get that record. It's amazing. I was there at the live recording, and you can feel it on the recording. It's just amazing. So I think the entire point is this. I know the entire point of this is for us to get back to how God made us in the first place. How do I get back to this spot? Because these curses, man, you're going to toil over the ground. Women, it's going to be kids and men. That's going to be your toil. And the reason we have these curses because of our disobedience that allows sin to enter. And the Bible says sin leads to death. When we disobey the word of God, we go from a blessing to a curse. But how can I return to how God created me? By obeying the word of God. What does his word say? Get in his word, read it, breathe it, eat it, meditate on it, speak it, let it become a part of you, and then watch what is toiling start turning into tending. Because toiling is, I got to do this, right? I got to. Tending is, I want to. I love this garden. I love these kids. I love this spouse. I love this place. One of the therapy sessions that Chris and I were a part of, we were taught, take the word got to, or take the word should, and turn into want. Instead, I should, I gotta say, I want to. And when that word shift, you find yourself, okay, now I'm gonna spend more time in the garden. How many receive this word today? Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And I pray, God, right now that you would do what your word does so well. It would begin to do surgery on our hearts and remove things that need to be removed. Convict us so that we can become more like you. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would do what only your Holy Spirit can do, and that is breathe life. Because your word, the letter, kills and takes away, but your spirit brings life. So breathe on us today. Lord, I don't want to be a better man. I don't want to be a better husband. I don't want to be a better father or pastor. I want to be more like you. Help me, Lord. Teach us how to be more like you. Now, with your eyes still closed, I want to ask you to consider, what is your next step? Preach the message. We worship, we pray, we've done all we know to do. Now, what is your next step? What is God speaking to you about obeying his word so that you can step into blessing? What is that? And I would encourage you to make a commitment today. For some of you, it's going to be, canceling a subscription. For some of you, it's going to be spending more time with someone or less time with someone. Just removing some things. Stopping some things. Or for some of you, it's just backing off some things. Yeah, maybe it's not cutting it out. It's just less. And then we believe every Sunday that God sends people to this house that are about to make the biggest step of their life. And your next step is going to be the step that alters your eternal address. We believe that today. We prayed for you today. Whether you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord or today you want to make a recommitment to him, his word clearly states, if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he's the risen Lord, you will be saved. It'd be my honor today to lead you in that prayer. Each of us making a next step. All right, open your eyes and look at me. Come on, why don't you just pray this with me online, out in the overflow, right here. Just repeat after me. Come on, Hills. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Today, I confess that I need you. I acknowledge that you are the risen Savior. And today, I want you to be my Lord. I'm making a commitment now to make a step toward you. And your word says that you'll make a step toward me. I want you to cover me with your grace. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I want to live with you forever. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Hey, Hills, let's celebrate with these folks today that prayed this prayer.